Up here, we're continuing our series on foolproofing your life, where we are looking at the wisdom recorded for us in the book of Proverbs. So if you've been doing the Proverbs reading challenge, you've come to the part of the book now from chapter 10, pretty much through the end of the book, that becomes very disjointed, where one verse to the next verse might not feel like they're related at all. And it's like over 600 little statements or quips that Solomon and a couple other writers record for us in the book. And so what that means is for the rest of this series, as we go through different topics and themes, rather than taking a chunk of the book of Proverbs, we'll be looking at verses kind of spread out throughout the book and bringing them together to pull together a single coherent message. And today being Father's Day, I decided I wanted to look at what the book of Proverbs has for wisdom for fathers and how to live out that role of a father. And it's interesting when you talk about the role of a father and what that is. There's a lot of graphics made for churches now to use for their artwork and their bulletins. And so when we put up like a Happy Father's Day sign, like say that one I think we've used in years past, we're just going to the internet and we're just looking up church graphic Father's Day, okay? But what I found interesting when I went looking this year is we've got one like this where it shows how father, or go back to the last one, what fathers look like. The cool hipster glasses and the beard, not nearly as cool as Jeremy's, the bass player up here. You guys know he's got an incredible beard. And the tie, because apparently dads still wear ties. Or we've got what dads do around the house in the next picture that's showing all these tools, that he's the fix-it man, that he keeps everything running. Or the next photo is all the hobbies that dad has. I think they crammed everything they could into this one of grilling and video gaming and shaving. And that's a root beer float on the right, I'm sure. A&W mug root beer. And fishing. And it's like all these things. But you know what? All these pictures are missing. The main qualification that makes a dad is kids. What I found absolutely perplexing is all these pictures for Father's Day that churches are supposed to use, and they don't even show the one thing that turns a man into a father, and that's his children. That's what makes a dad, is that you have little people that you're responsible for. You're not a father if you made a child. There are a lot of men who have made children. They are considered biological fathers. But a lot of times their kids don't even look towards them as a father. They're like, I don't know, that guy made me. You know, I've got his DNA, but that's not what a father is. It's more than just your ability to be part of making a new life. Being a father is about relationship. It's about knowing your kids, but not just knowing them and being their best friend. Some dads, it's just all about the fun and being their friend and never saying no and give them whatever they want, but that's not doing a very good job of being a father either. Fathers have a responsibility to take their children through the journey of life and prepare them not just to have a fun childhood, but to be the awesome young men and young women that God created them to be. That's been my motto since I started being a foster dad and adopted, as I regularly tell my kids, my job is to help you be the best young person that God made you to be. And it's not really about your happiness, and it's not about my happiness, because a lot of times neither of us are very happy with how the situation is going. But we've got a bigger picture in mind. So I do like to say, when it comes to if you're actually doing a good job at being a dad, the proof is kind of in the pudding. And because in the moment, when you're disciplining your child, or when you're saying no to them and they're throwing a tantrum in the store, when you feel like you have taught them a million times, don't do this, it's going to go the wrong way for you, and they do it one more time, you're thinking, why am I even involved in this? It feels like I'm not getting anywhere. But hopefully you will have a moment later in life where you'll be able to see that there are actual results. I like to say the proof is in the pudding. I have a 22-year-old and a 26-year-old now. And I can look at their lives and I can see the ways that I shaped and I shifted and I made them a lot more like how I think about life. We call it the Leonard's way in my home. And those boys definitely, living longer in my house, they picked up the Leonard's way. And so even being adopted kids, it's so obvious all the traits and the morals and the values that they inherited from Michelle and I and our home. And so when we're laying that down, all these traits, these values, the work ethic, the principles, the traditions, what we're doing is establishing a legacy in our family. Our lives are more than just me and my wife, but our lives actually make a difference for our kids and hopefully for their kids and their children's children. And the same goes for you. How you live your life is not just an impact, having an impact on you and your life, but it impacts your children. It completely shapes how they are going to view the world and how they are going to live out their lives. And so some of you dads know exactly what I mean. Now that your kids have grown, you can see in them that they have taken after you in all sorts of ways. You can see that your legacy or what it is at this moment, how it has been transferred and passed down to the next generation. Maybe you see that small little habit that you hum every time you're like doing something small with a screwdriver, and they all do the same thing. Maybe it's something a lot bigger. Maybe you see that they are chasing after Jesus with their whole hearts, your children and your grandchildren, and you're like, that's my legacy. I taught them that. And now it's making a difference in their life and hopefully going down and further down the family tree. As it's Father's Day, this is a wonderful time for us to evaluate, what legacy are you leaving with your family? We all want to leave something important behind. We want our kids to inherit something more than just wealth. We want them to inherit the ability to be awesome sons and daughters of the Lord Most High, to be people who make a difference in the lives of those around them. And so as a father, there is a responsibility not just to make children or to make memories with your children, but to make awesome, God-loving adults who are able to receive your wisdom and pass that wisdom down through the generations. As we've seen, the book of Proverbs is loaded with wisdom on how we are to foolproof our lives so that we can set ourselves up for success and avoid the pitfalls that are on all sorts of sides of our life where Satan's trying to ruin us and make our lives harder. And the book specifically shows us that God has a design for how each person is to acquire the knowledge and put it into practice. How we are to pass down our wisdom through the generations by leaving a legacy with those we love most. So God's design for passing down wisdom first is rooted in family. The family structure is the basic building block. It is the foundation for how God always intended wisdom and knowledge to be passed from one generation to the next. It's how he desires for each person to grow and learn and become who he created them to become. In God's plan, moms and dads have this massive responsibility to teach what they have learned from their parents and to pass it to the next generation. We see that exact example in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, where Solomon, remember he is king who asked God for wisdom, and he's David's, King David's son, and he writes this, I give you, talking to his own son is what he's writing, I give you, my son, sound learning. So do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Solomon is laying this down. He's saying, look, Yes, King David has a legacy of being the fountainhead, the root of Jesse, where Jesus Christ comes from that family tree. But he also leaves a legacy in the knowledge of Solomon is deeply rooted in what his dad, King David, taught him. What we have in the Proverbs, much of it, is probably what David taught his son at a young age, saying, look, you know, we're the king of a massive kingdom, and there are a lot of ways that you can find ruin. And even as a king, David was teaching his young son how to avoid those pitfalls. And so what this is showing is that God always has intended a multi-generational transmission of knowledge. He's always intended for us as parents to be the ones who teach and train our children how to live and how to be successful. In our society, we've created all sorts of other systems that in some ways we've allowed them to take over the teaching and the training. But ultimately, God has always intended for the family to be the central way that children learn everything about life. And as the family is eroded, so societies go. As you start reading about that, there's a really big tie between families and societal success. And so that's why it's important, even though society is pushing against family units and family structure, family is important. And how you teach and train through your family is significant for your kids and for your grandkids and down the line. So, if parents have a responsibility to pass wisdom down to their kids, the next question becomes, well, which wisdom? Is it just a narrow view of wisdom, like what we teach in church, or is it something much wider? Here's what we see in Proverbs. Children need spiritual and practical training. First, as we said 2 weeks ago when we kicked off this series, we saw in Proverbs chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, he repeats and he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The most important thing families need to pass down to the next generation is that everything needs to be built on submission and love of God. That's where everything starts. Trying to build a life on just how to be successful as an American in our culture is not going to give you an abiding and a firm foundation for when all the terrible junk of life hits. But first we have to root ourselves, we have to put our feet soundly on the foundation that we submit to God as Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And we have to pass that down to our kids within our family. Some people, they just kind of say, well, that's the church's job. That's the Sunday school teacher's job. That's the youth pastor's job. You know, I feed them, I clothe them, I get them to school, and I get them to church. But that's not what God intended. God intended for you as parents and as grandparents to be pouring into your kids and your grandkids directly with your relationship with Jesus, to be modeling and showing them how life looks when you follow Jesus. It's not something that you can outsource to the church. You have a holy responsibility to teach and train your kids in the ways of the Lord. But it doesn't end there, okay? The wisdom isn't just, well, we'll do the spiritual training. Some families are way more comfortable doing the spiritual training and talking about prayer and what's in the Bible and all the rules in the Bible at home. But then they skirt around some of the very practical things of life. Some parents don't feel very comfortable talking about money or finances with their kids. And as a result, their kids get to 20, 24, 28 years old, and they really don't understand how to manage their money because their parents were never open with them about